Oh, Father, we come with a thankful heart. We acknowledge your goodness, your tender mercies, Lord, they're overtaking us. We open our heart to receive today the abundance of all the life of God, the life of the Spirit. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, who is our teacher, our comforter, our helper. And Father, in the fear of the Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit's ministry to guide us in truth right now. May your people be strengthened and edified today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I'm excited to share with you today with the word I have. You know, our spirit man needs to be fed.
Absolutely.
Just as we feed our physical man, our flesh, our spirit man. So it's dinner time. We'll ring a bell here for dinner. But, you know, we learn to eat of the spirit as well as we would eat in the natural. And, you know, you can be strong in the physical and weak in spirit or vice versa. But we want to be strong in Him foremost and allow that to translate or transfer into every area of our life. I want to pick up on some similar thoughts I've had last week. This is not a series, but I'm real excited to share what I have today. I want to begin by going to Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you eat, the day you will surely die." Now, I was sharing with you last week some about the temptation that came from Satan and how, you know, he had fallen and so forth. But I want to bring a thought here today. God put him into a garden, but he was created on the earth. The earth was at this point not cursed. There was abundance of everything, but he says about a garden here, and he says to dress it and keep it, which the word dress is a word for like cultivate, develop it, and to keep it's to guard and protect. Now, there were no weeds per se at this point. He's talking about a place in spirit. The Garden of Eden, what I want to submit to your consideration, and hear me out, because it might be something you've not considered before, but I submit to you, it was not a physical place, but a place in the spirit. And we were looking at some of this last week, the fact that Adam lost his fellowship with God when he sinned. And God restored that through Jesus. Through the Old Testament, the presence of God was limited to the Holy of Holies for the nation of Israel. It was not a personal thing. They had the tabernacle to bring offerings to cover their sin, that they be forgiven. To be forgiven means you don't have to pay up. You know, you're released of that. You're not going to be judged. But that's not the same as the new covenant promise of the remission of sin, where he would remove it out from your soul. You would be cleansed in your soul that the Holy Spirit could then come in and work through you from your spirit man out. So it's very important to understand this. So when Jesus died, it says the veil was rent. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there was a veil, like a cloth barrier, between the holy place for the priest ministered and the Holy of Holies. And Jesus carried the presence of God to the earth, but no man could enter in and partake of it yet, because under that old covenant, that was lost. Or not the old covenant, but I mean the death of Adam, it was lost. The old covenant brought it in a measure, but for forgiveness and The forgiveness was necessary from the get-go because when he brought the law, you then had the awareness you had sinned. Apart from the law, you don't realize you sinned. Apart from knowing what's right and wrong, how do you know you did wrong? But as the law is declared, you know what the desire is of the authority, in this case God, but you learn that in other realms of authority, like parent-child. And they learned what was expected, but then immediately there's the awareness of sin that they violated that. Paul said the law's not bad, it's good. People that teach laws bad are ignorant teachers. I would advise you don't listen too closely, lest what's in their mind get on you. That's the will of God. But with it, we need the priestly, high priestly ministry of Jesus, that there's cleansing of sin and removal of the guilt and condemnation and sin consciousness, that we can freely serve the Lord out of a clean and pure heart. It's important to understand. Then that makes the way possible for the Holy Spirit to come within us and work through us. Now, let's look at this. Garden of Eden means a place of pleasure. It's a place. It's a place. A place of pleasure. Now, in Psalm 16, verse 10 or 11, says, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The place of highest pleasure is his presence. Now, we were created subject to what's referred to as the pleasure principle. And that is, people will pursue where they find pleasure. You pursue the wrong thing because that's where you're looking for your pleasure. Someone will continue to pursue the high of a certain drug addiction because they have pleasure, but it says in Hebrews 11, it's sin, the pleasures of sin pass. They're just very short-lived. And many times people fall in this thing of looking for pleasure in this world. Oh, this peaceful, awesome place I like to sit. Activities I like to do make me happy. Well, that's just for a brief moment. So you end up really like an addiction, the same way as a drug addict or a donut addict or whatever it would be. It's all the same. If we're looking to the flesh for that which we should be looking in spirit, you will continue to have to go after that. And thus, that's the basis of all addictive behaviors, whatever it might be. So you have in the natural, you have things like sexual relationship, you have pleasures of certain things you would do, joy, what you would call joy, but it's just a pleasure. You have peaceful places, but those are not, none of them are the higher thing, the greater thing. The greatest pleasure is his presence. Now, if someone's never really encountered the presence of God, it's a foreign thought. But as we encounter Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit, or what he produces, so there's nothing better than this. You know, you can think, well, sitting on a beach or in the mountains or whatever is a peaceful place. But you know, if you have worry, fear, care, strife in your heart, you just take it there. Now you just mess the place up. Your strife's there. It was peaceful before you got there. Now you just brought that into it. So it's not ever a matter of looking for that. Many people just go here, there, looking for something that would bring some greater element to them. Now with the pleasure principle in the flesh, people are never really satisfied. So they're always looking for more and more. So that's why like someone could start out drinking some alcohol, and then they move to pot, and then they're doing LSD or, I don't know, what the current stuff, fentanyl, whatever, because you begin to look for a greater pleasure, a greater high, so to speak, because what you've had's not really satisfying. So a person yearns for more and more and more. You'll find that with people, if they get into the perversion, sexual perversion, they'll get often weird stuff, looking for something beyond, rather than understanding that is God's ordained seal of a marriage covenant. Yes. The seal of that together, to be cherished. It's not like, just an animal running off after some pleasure or something. But if you're in pursuit of worldly pleasure, there's no end to it. And you will become addicted to something. It's just some things will kill you faster than others. If you have a donut addiction, you eat 6 of them a day, that'll probably kill you too. Maybe not as quick as heroin. But, whatever you would look to in the flesh, you'll just crave more and more and more, rather than the presence of God. And in carrying the presence of God, you can go out into this life, and whatever you're encountering, the things that are good, you can enjoy for them in the moment, what they produce. But the things that would be negative in our encounters, you can face them victoriously and deal with them and not let them steal or rob from you. Satan will steal the good things from you if you allow it. And, a young child, it's kind of interesting, they just naturally like happy. They say, look, Grandma, there's a bird. You're 3 years old and they're discovering things. You don't want to be talking to a 5-year-old about the problems of the world. They're not in a place to deal with that. And sometimes we need to, there's certain things, we grow, we go on, but there's things of the earliest phases of life you still want to hang on to. We should still be childlike and just enjoying the simplicity of life, the simplicity of whatever God's blessed us with, whatever that might be. And just cherish those little things that it's so easy to take so much for granted. I was telling Donna yesterday, for a while, and I couldn't really stand up in it. I couldn't stand in the shower. So you have to do, baby wipes and washcloth and stuff like that. So to be able to get back in the shower, it's like, praise the Lord, Donna. I just stand in the shower. Now, I had an appreciation come for that when I go to Nigeria. And in earlier times, no running water. Running water, you took a bucket out to wherever they got it from and carry it up the steps, and wash like that. And you come back home. Of course, it'd be 95 degrees, 95% humidity, so it didn't matter anyway. You just sweat like the proverbial dog. And to come back home, it's like, a shower. It's the last time you thank God, you take a warm shower. A shower, period. Praise God, this is awesome. But, in the absence of things, sometimes your appreciation grows more so. But when you're sort of like looking at everything, just for what it's doing for you, like there's a habit of thought, you just want more, 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 more. And there's no end to it. We're in that childlikeness. You learn to enjoy the simplicity. That's something that should never be lost. Childlike faith. Daddy, can I have a piece of pie? Yeah, we want to bless you. That's okay. So you would have just the simplicity of faith, the simplicity of enjoying life. But then as you're going on, like in a young man stage, you begin to become strong and become a conqueror. You're going to conquer the flesh and the devil, not other people. The flesh and the devil, where you're rising up strong and you're moving to maturity of adulthood, where you're giving life to others, both in the natural, bearing children, but life around you. And just the life of giving, and that's the whole essence with maturity, but you can still be as a little child. Don would say everybody should have some time ministering to little kids. It keeps you young at heart. You don't forget what it is to be 4 years old and pick up a crayon and scribble outside the lines. It's just interesting. And mercy. But anyway, God has a place for us in spirit. He had a place for Adam. When you hear the word garden, what you'll think of is this place like tomatoes, flowers, and what have you. And that's how we would think in the natural, but really a garden is a place of life. A place of life where there's gardens. Back with in Babylon and even Persia, they were highly known for their, and the kings, their elaborate gardens were supposed to be so awesome. I just read about those things, like the gardens that they had. And it was an enjoyable place. But it was merely a picture of what God had for Adam, where it's a place where what I want to submit to you is that the garden of God, the greatest pleasure, is his presence or fellowship with him. And that's what that special place was. Now, he was told to subdue the earth. He was to replenish the earth. So he wasn't to be limited. This is before he fell now. To replenish the earth, he was to multiply over the earth, to oversee the earth. He was not restricted to this little acre. He had dominion over the earth, but within that there was another place. It's a place in spirit. And it speaks of having trees there, which generally people interpret as physical trees, apples and oranges and peaches and pears. It's not what it's talking about. Do you see that mentioned at all? There's an assumption, oh, that means eating for our body. But see, the food was over the whole earth. He's not talking about physical place here for your body, but it was food for your spirit. And as we need to feed our spirit, Adam's spirit was to be fed from the presence of God or drawing from him. And where it says the word fruit of the trees, it's actually not fruit like we think of the word fruit, like here's an apple, but it's a Hebrew word mini or minie, I'm not sure the pronunciation, which means out of. Simply out of. Out of the tree. You know a tree by what it produces. Jesus even used that reference relative to our words and the fruit that we would produce. You know the tree by its fruit. Now you could be really educated in all that and say, you recognize the bark or the leaves. But you really, the truth's known, tree's known by its fruit. It's not about your clothing or what have you. The people know you by your fruit. Now, you'll have something. Well, we can develop in certain things that are in greater abundance in us that bless others. And ideally, we're strong in everything, but I don't know how realistic that is. You become stronger in certain things, and people remember by you. My friend Ron Perry, he wrote songs of joy. He had a sense of calling, of caring, and he'd say this, the song of joy around the world. And when I hear the word joy, I'll think of him. I see Ron Perry's face. Yeah, and he had songs like Take Your Medicine, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, simple, awesome stuff like that. And so, people will think of you. Now, hopefully, the abundant fruit of you is not mean old grouchy person. Nancy Fearmonger, Worry Wart Will, that's not anything like that. That's not how you're known. At work, you're known like that. People, oh, here comes Mr. Happy, Mr. Joy. Now, they might get convicted about that because they don't have it, and they don't want to submit to the Lord who gives it to you. But it's always a good, when you have fruit, it needs to really be the forerunner of your witness and testimony. If you're carrying joy, that goes before you like fragrance or odor does. I know there's a skunk in the neighborhood long before I ever see one, because he carries a certain odor that can even penetrate our windows. How? I don't know. You know, our house is sealed pretty good, but man, there's a skunk out there somewhere, because it precedes him. Well, like that, that's sort of a negative thing to our sense of smell, but it could be something else that's fragrant. You know, you come into an area, and what's a good fragrant flower, Donna? Lavender. You would have a certain smell like that, and you know, it's around here somewhere. Oh, there it is. So you carry that in, whether it's peace, loving kindness, joy, you carry that, and that will cause someone to say, well, what is that? Just like you, I'm not into perfumes and stuff, but, or all of that. I'm not as sensitive in reacting to fragrance as I was. I think the Lord sort of healed me of that. But you might sometimes smell someone come into the room ahead of them, and maybe you know their perfume. That's so-and-so. He just came in the front door. Maybe put a little too much on that week or something. And you know, you begin to know that. Well, in spirit, people will know you in spirit. And that could cause them to say, what's that you're wearing? Like in the natural. Why are you always so joyful? Now, the word won't use the word joyful. It'll say happy. But we understand. And you could testify, oh, it's Jesus. Gives me joy. Oh. So now either they know who you are, or they're going to inquire more. So as they ask, well, how did you get this? Now the door's wide open for you to do what we would tend to call witness. You're not trying to kick the door open. I don't believe in that kind of evangelism. It's not really, the Bible teaches us. But as you, and just like say going to a restaurant, there's tons of restaurants out there. You want to know, what are they serving? And when you find one, maybe someone say, you know, over here, they serve the best such and such. Oh, I need to go taste and see. And the Psalm says, taste and see is good. Well, what happens? You come back for more. If you have a restaurant, you didn't like it, you don't go back for more. But that which is good, just say, hey, next time I'm going out to eat, I want to go over there. So, you know, Don will have our favorite places. It's like, oh, we're going to, and then you have your more special ones. It's an anniversary, we go here. It's a special place, and we'll get to our favorite meals. And we begin to do that. Well, in spirit, God wants to serve us, serve up a platter of Holy Ghost fruits. and the meat of the Word of God. Well, in spirit, he's provided that in the Garden of Eden. It's a place in spirit. And he says to dress it or cultivate it, that's something from the beginning was to be cultivated and developed. Now, as believers, the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. We have him in us, but we want to learn to develop that. Cultivate it, develop it more and more and more. Brother Allen's sharing a series in a Bible study time on the love of God. It's been excellent. Well, that's all helping us to develop that, cultivate it. But Adam himself needed to develop that more. Had he developed that more, maybe he wouldn't have left it. Now, I'll say this. I didn't say this last week, but Adam hearkened to his wife. I was sharing with you that God spoke to Adam, and the message didn't get through clear to Eve. Satan used the word to try to seduce, incorrectly using the word, to seduce Eve out of it, to seduce Adam out of it, and she misquoted the word. That was just that one thing. A couple things there God spoke, But she didn't have that. And it says that Adam hearkened to the voice of Eve, or he listened to her. It's important to know who you're listening to. We need to know we're listening to God first and foremost. And then there's other people. We need to hear them because God will speak through them. And in order to really have a relationship with anybody, it begins with hearing. Hearing them. Listening to them. And as you listen to others and listen to God, you know how to speak or what to give out. So I believe the reason Adam hearkened to Eve is that he loved her more than God at that point. Now, prior to this, he was alone. God said, it's not good man's alone. I'll create a helpmeet, a companion. And Adam was so blessed by this that he got his eyes off of God, creator, more so onto his wife. So then he followed her as she followed the devil. Now, was she an evil person? No, she just listened. And I gave to you a certain illustration of sharing that anyone could at any point in time begin to listen to a devil. Anyone that thinks they're above that is deceived. Not might be, they already are. And we can choose at any time to listen to God by the same token. You'd be born again today and begin listening to God. You'd be listening to him even before you get saved because he brings conviction before we're even saved. He's speaking to people. Now, they're not being led by the Spirit, so you know they don't have him within them, but he'll speak to their heart, to their conscience, to draw them to him. So we are to develop this. Had Adam developed in a greater way the knowledge of the love of God, maybe he wouldn't have followed his wife. Now, that's not my point today. I'm just bringing this out that in the beginning, it was intended to develop in that further. So it's the same for us as it was for him. And to keep it or guard it. To guard it, to be watchful, guarding over that which is precious. If something's precious to you, you'll be very watchful, very guarding. You know, when you have children, and then you have firstborn children, mothers, call them helicopter moms. Well, you can't do that because you could be like hovering right over them, fall right in front of your face. You have to trust the Lord with them. However, there needs to be a guarding, especially of their soul. That things are not creating fear, anger. It says there in Ephesians 6, don't provoke your children to wrath. You know, but minister peace. Make your home a place of peace for them. So we're very watchful over it, yet understanding we live in a fallen world. They will have to learn to deal with it and go forward dealing with life in this fallen world, but learning to do so the way God would intend by the power of God, by the word of God. So, I'm submitting this idea to you here. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, again, was not a cherry tree or whatever, an apple tree, not at all. But rather, it was the authority to decide good and evil, or I'll take the place of authority in life to dictate and decide what I think is good or bad. That is restricted only to the Lord himself. That's what makes him Lord. He only can say, this is my will, this is good, this is bad, this is flesh, this is the devil, stay away from this. And as we're obedient, we submit ourselves to that. We don't say, well, I think this. You know someone's in trouble when they're pushing the I thinks forward. We need to say, what does God think? And then we think that. We align ourselves with it. So as we proceed on in chapter 3, there's something I want to bring out with this thought in mind. And that is, when Adam fell, it says he was in the garden, And he heard the voice of God come into the garden. See, that garden was the place God communed with Adam. Now, that was broken off by Adam's sin. Fellowship. Where spiritual death precedes physical death. He didn't die physically. He died spiritually. And his fellowship with God was lost. Now, he had some knowledge, but in spirit, he was separated, which is what death is. He was separated, broken off, and lost access to the fruit of the tree of life, or the trees of life. And where it says trees, plural, you have that which would produce different things: love, joy, peace. Mentioned in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit produces. It's not what you produce. You don't create the fruit.
That's right.
And that could take a little pressure off of you. Oh, it's not for me to make it happen. You can't make it happen. But as we walk with him and in his ways, he does it in us and through us. This concept is very, very important to grasp. The natural man won't grasp this. It has to be revealed by the Lord to us. So we have here in the garden, the place of fellowship. God came to fellowship with him. Adam, where are you? I heard your voice and I hid. He had guilt and condemnation, so he couldn't face God. Many times people, if they have unconfessed sin, they have guilt, and it's hard for them to stand, be in the presence of worship, and hearing the word, because it convicts them. And for someone to be in heaven who hasn't been cleansed of their sin, that would be torment for them. That would be torment. Because this is conviction. People need to grasp then that God's love can bring them out of that. In his mercies, he forgive us. He's favorable, gracious to us. He so loved us, he gave his son to die for us, to redeem us from sin. And that his love is greater than all of that. And through the blood of Jesus, we can have remission of sin, complete cleansing in our heart. So you have this in the garden. I want to go to the end of the chapter. And I did mention last week at verse 13, or no, excuse me, verse 21, he made a coat of skins and clothed them. Blood was shed. It's a picture of redemption right from the beginning. The blood was shed of animals to cover them. I find that fascinating. Right from the beginning, as soon as sin was realized, there was a provision of blood being shed. Now, at that point, it would be for forgiveness, not remission. New covenant, remission. As we scroll on down, it says he sent him forth from the garden. He drove him out. He placed him at the east of the garden, which means the exit of it. In other words, there was an exiting from the presence of God. He was driven out of the Garden of Eden, that pleasure of the presence of God. Cherubims, which is speaking of angels, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The phrase "which turned every way" is just one word in the Hebrew, and it's speaking of turning. There's a guarding, a turning where there was no way in. There was no way back in. To keep or protect the way of the tree of life, or the access to it. There was a cutting off of access to the presence of God. Now, one of the things we need to grasp, big picture, You know, David didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. No one did in the Old Testament. You have to understand that the Holy Spirit in the Bible can be relevant to one of three things: him among us or with us, which there's times he was with them, then him upon us, which is relative to ministry, and then him within us, which is new covenant, to come within us. He wasn't within someone like David. The anointing came upon him to speak forth to the people, whether it be in psalms or prophetic word, or in the priestly ministry as well. The anointing came upon him. So you have new covenant. You know, someone might be called as a prophet. It's the anointing upon them. That's not who they are. It's not what they do 24/7. It's the anointing upon them for that particular purpose. But we all, as believers, live our life the same way by the anointing within us. The Holy Spirit's ministry within us. So you have a lot of things, like in terms of prayer was a little different. They were praying not out of that place of righteousness consciousness, but more appealing to the mercy of God. Oh God, you know, please have mercy, do this or that. We're new covenant. We have covenant rights and promises that we just by faith receive. I can tell people that don't understand this, or certain pastors and denominations, their prayers like is begging God for something. Oh God, please touch me. And they think that's the way to do it. Now, if your emotions stir that way, that's okay. But that's not where effective prayer comes. Effective prayer is knowing what God has promised to you. And by faith, you release your faith. You speak that word. And he blesses you or directs that into your life, you know, receiving whatever it would be. So there's a difference there. So anyway, that was cut off, and there's a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life. The flaming sword is the word of God. God's word prohibits entry into his presence in the same way it opens up the door to his presence. It's as we hear the word and mix faith with it, mentioned in Hebrews 4, we can partake of eternal life, or the rest of God's mentioned there. Hearing that word and mixing faith, we can receive, we can be blessed. So the word, again, is what cut them off, in a sense, and the word's what opens it up again.
Yes.
So as we proceed forward, I want to hit a few scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll read quickly here. Verse 20, love these verses. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, or is that word, keep, guard, protect, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, why is that so important? For out of it are the issues of life. The word received in you can produce life, and we have to guard our heart as to what's coming in, because if we allow fear, anger, strife, hatred, envy, we allow those things, prideful thoughts, it will cut off the life of God coming from us. I'll jump forward, quote Ephesians 6:17, speaking of the armor of God, says the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And take that, praying for one another with all supplication, all manner of prayer, praying one for another. It's the sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, says the word of God is quick and alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder that which is spirit and soul, the joints and marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, we need to be able to divide because we're in a fallen world, and Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we need the Spirit of God to help us separate. That's of God, and that's flesh. That's a God, and that's a devil. That's opinion. This is God. The thoughts and intents of the heart. What you're thinking, what's the heart of God in the matter? Yes. To separate that, to judge it. See, part of growing and maturing is to be able to judge these things. A child's not able to judge very well good and evil. They need to grow in that understanding of the word. And there's at times there's things in life we're not sure what this is, but we need his word in us that gives life, it's alive, that we can judge as with spirit and soul. Because some things are just your soul. Some things are in your spirit. Whether it's thoughts or the intent of the heart. And it was interesting, I was meditating on that with joints and marrow. Well, a joint holds things together. And a marrow is in the bone. Really is life-giving. I can't give a scientific expose on that, but I think red blood cells proceed out from the marrow, if I'm correct. Who's a medical-minded person? Am I saying the truth here? I'm pretty sure about that. Well, if you don't have any red blood cells, you're in trouble. If they're too low, you're in trouble. And that's part of the composition of your blood. Well, that which gives life to you and that which is just connecting you, that the connection could be to this world. We have to connect with God. And I've taught already like binding and loosing. To bind is to connect. That's what that means. Connect to God through his word. To be able to connect to people. Connect to God. Yes. It's one of the things like you need to learn to do. Like say in teaching, you go to a place like where Alan's going, Tanzania. You have to be able to connect. Find a way to connect. And maybe they're refreshing cold drinks, a coconut right fresh off a tree. And you use a coconut for an example, and it connects, it's like, ha, and they'll be smiling, ha, 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 you like a coconut. But whatever it might be, you have to be able to connect. You can say all kinds of words, but if someone can't connect to you, it doesn't really do any good. Maybe you feel good saying it, but it doesn't help them any. But to be able to connect and give life. And that's all proceeds out from the word in our heart and in our spirit. Now I want to conclude Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, familiar verse. But at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, or in other words, don't worry about anything. You know, worry is called sin. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's very important that the things that would concern us in this life, and there'll always be some, if you think you're going to somehow live your life, there's everything just goes fine according to plan, and there's nothing to be concerned about, you're not in reality. There's going to be things, but we need to give them to God in faith. Now, it says in everything, or with every situation, every thing you encounter in life, by prayer and supplication. The word prayer here, it's kind of interesting. It really is speaking to, sometimes use the house of prayer, or the spirit of prayer. Might say, well, okay, what are you getting at here? There's a prayer that comes from your spirit, a communion to God, your heart to God in a matter, But then there's the prayer you pray. So where it says supplication is what you're asking for, the prayer you pray. Sometimes people can get religious and just say prayers to say, okay, here's my prayer for this, blah, 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 blah. Next, blah, 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 blah. Next. But see, there's no life in that. But it comes out of your spirit, out of your heart, a heart of prayer. I think it was Finney, I think, talked about the spirit of prayer. That's not a spirit floating out there. It's a Holy Spirit influencing your spirit where you're being led. We use expression led by the Spirit. Something's quickened to your heart. So many times how this works is you think of somebody, the Holy Spirit will maybe flash an image of their face or their name or something you saw, and you think about them. That doesn't mean anything's wrong. Maybe. It may be you're going to pray and a catastrophe is avoided. It may be where they need help out of something. It may be God just wants to impart joy or love in a greater degree in that moment. Don't assume it means something's wrong. So in the quickening of the Spirit, in our heart prayer, he'll impress upon you. And it's interesting, like in the earlier charismatic days, this was a very common thing. I don't hear as much of that from people anymore. Why? Because they're too busy in their mind. But you just learn to, how to say it, be chill. You know, just walk in peace. Not worrying about anything. Your heart's open for the impressing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, and with it comes like the love, the yearning, the desire for them to be blessed. And I'm not talking about emotions here. You may have an emotion. You may not feel anything. But there's that impression in your heart, and we respond. And so many times you end up talking to that person and say, hey, well, how's it been going? Well, I'm glad you asked. I had a rough week. And it's like, okay. And you know that quickening is the Holy Spirit having you pray for them. But I'm doing much better now. And you say, you don't have to say, well, I prayed for you. You know, maybe there's times to say that, but you don't have to. And you just smile. Praise God. Praise God. So the spirit of prayer with thanksgiving. Again, this doesn't mean, okay, I have a little formula. I say, God, give me food. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But rather with, in the midst of, or an atmosphere of a thankful heart. So as we're considering the Lord, we want to do so with thankfulness. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. I have the gift of righteousness. I have the Holy Ghost. Resurrection power dwells in me. That's what's in me. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that, you come to Him with that request, whether it be for yourself or other people, the impressing of the Lord. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Here is the result. The byproduct is peace. It's beyond human understanding will guard you. Your heart is your garden. Guard your garden. Your heart is your Garden of Eden. That's where you can fellowship and have the fullness of joy. And that's where there's a place called peace. There's peace in Him. We learn to just live there. You live there. It doesn't mean you never get agitated, but you quickly come right out from that back into that place of peace. And we're positioned to hear His voice. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. I remember early in our walk, Janie Grind was one of our primary song people. And she had a song called Think on These Things. And we used to listen to that all the time about Donna. And there was other ones on there. It was just peace, think on these things. And when I remember getting a hold of this, I memorized this verse. And I remember working in a foundry, and there was, I think, a million demons would come to work with everybody else. That warfare was all around me the whole time. But I had my secret place, standing there, running this loud machine. And they could see my mouth was moving, but nobody could hear a word I was saying except God. And any devils that were around, they heard me too. But I would speak this over and over to myself, so that whenever a thought came or words were around me and came, say, no, that's not a good report. No, that's not pure in the name of Jesus. I resist that. I cast that out. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10 that we have the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if we allow thoughts in our gardens like weeds that have been there too long, they get hard to pull out. Don't let them grow. Don't let the weeds grow. Pull them out while they come out real easy. That first thought. And I would just speak from this verse over and over. That's not a good report. That's not virtuous. That's not worthy of praise. I reject that. And you renew your mind to the point with that. It's like your garden's well tilled and weeded. And he says, those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God in our life. Paul was an example of that. So he said, what you learned. He didn't say, well, just do what you learned and then everything's okay. Well, learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do. So he gave example. Your children need example from their parents. They may not do what you say, but they will mimic what you do. That's a sobering thought. Think on these things. Allow the peace of God to rule you. So regardless of what all is going on out in the world, it's water off the proverbial duck's back for us. You know, we can walk in that level of peace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray your people be edified, that these things stir within us, that we step into a greater and higher realm of fellowship with you and peace. And I thank you for the fruits, and those fruits shall be released out of our life. We thank you for it. Amen.